Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Well, we just left our Bellevue campus a little bit ago, and I'm heading down to Renton right now. Been meaning to hang out with an incredible new family called the Moodys, Danielle and Skip Moody, and I thought I'd just drop in on them today and see if we could hang out for a little bit and get a little more of their story. Hopefully, they don't have any security dogs. Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Thought I'd just swing by and see how you guys are doing.
Yeah, I bet.
You mind if we come in?
Come on through.
Skip and Danielle, thank you again for taking time to, you know, let me come over, hang out, and tell us a little bit about what was your life like before Jesus, before Christ was at the center of who you are. What did life look like for Skip and Danielle?
Well, I was raised by a single mother and didn't know Christ until after I met Skip. So I was pretty lost, you know, and searching. Yeah, when I met him and got pregnant pretty quickly, he brought me to church and I got saved and I got baptized at a women's retreat that I went to, you know, 2 months into the church. And it was challenging because I didn't have experience with Christ and different victories yet. So Skip and I were already kind of living together, and now we were having a baby, and I wanted to live a different life, but I also wanted to hold on to what we had and was hoping it would work, and didn't necessarily trust God to let go of my way of doing things.
Essentially, I was raised in church, at church all the time. You know, my family members are pastors and ministers and evangelists. So it was kind of one of those situations, just being brought up, you know, in church, kind of like just regular church kids. It really wasn't until when I got into college that I just turned my back on that. Not turned my back on my faith, but just decided to like walk down this other path, you know, just doing everything I was big enough and bad enough to do, you know, just, you know, running around, you know, going to, you know, clubs and chasing girls and partying and fighting, just, you know, just really, really crazy. I was playing football. I'd walked on to the football team at University of Washington. I was also on the track team there. So just, you know, a sports guy who's just kind of out there.
Yep.
You know.
You know, you walked through a pretty tough season too, in that season, maybe related to your college years. What, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, actually it was less than a year after I had graduated.
Wow.
And I had gotten into a fight with my roommate, best friend. We've been, you know, best friends for a number of years. And the fight, it just kind of seemed like it was one of those things that wasn't that big of a deal. And then some months later, I get a knock at the door and it's the police. And they said, we have a warrant for your arrest, you know. It was based on this fight, and they had wanted to charge me with a felony. And I was like, man, I just graduated from the University of Washington. I'm not taking a felony.
Absolutely.
And my lawyers at the time said, you know, they just really want you to have a felony. And I was like, well, you know, what's the other what's the other option? And they said, well, if you go to trial, you know, they want to try to give you like 5.5 to 6 years in prison. But if you just kind of take the felony, then you'll just kind of wear an ankle bracelet and you won't really do any kind of time.
Wow.
And end up going to trial, and I got found guilty. And I appealed and, you know, did other sets of appeals. And at the end of like several years of trying to appeal, I had to turn myself in. That was completely not in the plan. That wasn't in the picture. You know, I had, although I was, you know, out there before in college, you know, living really wild, I didn't have any kind of record or anything. And so I remember when these bars closed, like, and I thought, oh, this is real.
Wow.
You know, it's like, I'm gonna have to deal with this. It wasn't too long after being in there that I had really made that full shift.
I'm intrigued that in that season, you know, you're newer to faith. Skip, yeah. You know, you have probably more depth, foundation in Christ mm-hmm. from the way you grew up in your family. And yeah. for you, Danielle, that was a new thing. And yeah. how did that, for you, push you into your faith, deeper into Christ versus, you know, oh, I can't believe I give my heart to God and now this happens.
Yeah, well, I think I had a moment where it was challenging. Mm-hmm. And I, after that, just recognized that's not who I want to be anymore.
Yeah.
And he'd given me a little taste. I'd experienced his love. I'd experienced his grace. You know, single mom, and God just blessed me with jobs and promotions, and you wow. know, we're making it and we're doing well. You know, we were Maddie and I were actually doing pretty well financially, kind of celebrating those little milestones and learning quick to trust him was really, really helpful. He really showed himself to me in that time.
I really admire the way the two of you, both of you, have just used your gift and you've really stepped in. And tell us, what does Champion Center mean to you guys? And as we're on this season of legacy offering, you know, what would you say to people who have been participating in legacy for years, but as well, people who are going to participate?
Well, I personally, I think from the moment we came in, I just experienced that spirit of excellence that we had been searching for. We had been welcome so well, and people remembered us, and you know, Jay in the parking lot brought us in, showed us where childcare was, and you know, we have five kids, and searching around for all of that can be, you know,
absolutely.
Kind of hectic. And
absolutely.
You know, you came over right away and really engaged us, and even farther along as I began to get involved, I think even at Team Church or Oxygen, you know, I heard stories of people that have been in the church for a couple generations, and just the stories of the consistency of the leadership. And
I have this thing in my mind about not having a renter's mentality.
Mm, that's great.
And you know, we rented places, you know, for years before we bought a house, and you know, you may not decorate. You know, we would have boxes in our garage or in our closet because we knew we were moving, right? We were renting a place.
Yeah.
And that changes. You begin to get rid of the boxes, and you begin to decorate, and you begin to landscape when you have a mindset of ownership as opposed to just renting.
You've participated now in legacy a few years yourself, mm-hmm. and. For the people who are participating, what would you say to people that, you know, for years have been investing into the life of Champion Center?
I would say it's kind of cliche, but you're not going to beat God given.
Yeah.
I'm a giver just by heart, by nature. And I look for the have to, I have to give because
yeah.
it's during this
yeah.
time,
yeah.
but it's the opportunity. And I love being a blessing in that way. And for myself and my life, so many people have given unto me. I'll give what God is doing, and I want to be a part of what He's doing.
That's great.
Right? And so I look for that opportunity, and I'm excited about it.
I'm sold on the vision, you know? And so I'm excited to be able to use my gifts, whether it's, you know, putting my hands to work or my voice or my money, you know, just
yeah.
whatever I have to be able to give into the church so that others can experience the type of transformation my family has.
Awesome.
And at the church, I've had a few opportunities to step out of my comfort zone and felt the growth or the muscle, you know, begin to grow.
I love that. And I love, again, I love your guys' boldness. Thank you. What is the thing? Maybe there's a few things that you could be praying for individually or as a family. What are you guys believing God for? We're asking our church this whole season with Legacy, what is it that you're believing God for?
You know, I'm going back to school, you know, working on getting my master's back at UW. And one of the things that we're believing for, and I know God will, He's just going to direct us, you know, along the right path. And so we are really just believing that God is going to connect us with the right businesses, the right people, the right resources, down the right path during this season.
Oh, wow. Big thank you to Skip and Danielle for sharing their story today. Isn't it encouraging to hear how God's working in people's lives. It's so dangerous in our own lives to get away from that. That's really, in fact, if you're not a part of a small group or not involved with a team, then you're not seizing the opportunities to actually hear what God's doing in the lives of other people. And I wanna just give thanks to everybody who is a part of communities like that, sharing your story, encouraging other people. It's so easy to forget that God is at work in all of our lives and God doing great things. So thank you to these guys. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I wanna welcome everybody. So glad you're here this weekend at Champion Center. Welcome to our online campus. Welcome to those of you in Bellevue. Welcome here in Tacoma. We are so glad that you are in the house today. Anybody glad to be here? Let me ask you, has anybody had some victories this past week? Anything that you're thankful for? You're celebrating? Wow, some of your hands like went up so quick, like something big came to mind. Let's say it another way. Anybody glad that you're healthy enough to be in the house of God and that you're well enough? Come on. I want to read a scripture to you today, and before I read it to you, I want to just remind you that we are focusing right now on the question, what are you believing God for? And we're saying it, and we're saying it again, and we're saying it repetitiously, because that's what we believe God has given us to talk about and to gather around in this season of our church. So I'm going to invite you, if you would, to just say out loud before I get into the word and the teaching today. Just say out loud, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God. By your word. By your presence. Today. Make me better, God. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. Isaiah 54, verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, but go to DuPont. Okay, kind of added my little interpretation. But you know what? In just a few weeks, we're going to open our third physical campus in the city of DuPont. Come on, somebody ought to get excited and thankful. Enlarge. Enlarge. Somebody shout enlarge. Come on, somebody say stretch. How many of you know God's not finished with us yet? I love the verbiage of this verse. Do not hold back. Do not hold back. You can interpret that like, do not hesitate. Like, don't shrink in worry or in fear. So, yes, we're going there, and we're gonna open up a new campus in DuPont. And next week, I'm going to show you some photographs of the construction and how it's coming along. It's exciting. Walls are up and classrooms are being finished and the auditorium is getting set. I'm going to give you some dates on our first services, and I know that there's a lot of people who are excited about that campus. And I want to also say we would not have this campus in DuPont if it were not for your giving to last year's legacy offering. There's no way we would be there doing what we're doing. And I'm so thankful for the generous people who share our vision to expand into new communities. There's a retired couple in our church who are doing a trip around the world right now, and they contacted one of our leaders this week to give us the amount of their legacy offering for next weekend, and then also a list of the things that they're believing God for. And you know, that list was forwarded to me, and it was several things that were there, and then there was a smiley face kind of on the end of it that said, I hope that we're not asking for too many things here on the list. But it meant so much to me because it demonstrated their heart for the house, even though they're physically not here. It meant the world to me because I know a lot of people who are physically here that don't have the heart for the house. And to just hear from some people who are like, they're living their life, their dream, they're doing something they always look forward to doing. I'm so happy they're able to do it, but to know that they're still heart and soul with the vision of the house and that they're excited to contribute and they're excited to be a part of the enlarging and the stretching and the not holding back, because that's what we want to keep doing. We're headed to DuPont, but we don't want to stop in DuPont. We've got other communities that we're asking God to provide because we're thinking about where do we go next? Where's the next champion center? And I'd love to see the day, and I know many of you would as well, whenever there's such an anticipation that fills the life of our church that it's like, where are we going? Where are we going next year? Where are we going next year? It's like we're just continuing to stretch out and enlarge. So thank you for everybody who is generously a part of the vision. So while we're thinking about how we can honor and expand God's house, we also know that God wants to provide for us, and that God wants to continue to pour out His blessings and His favor and His increase into our lives and into our families and into our businesses. And so we're asking the question, what are you believing God for? In the video that we just watched, while Skip is living the crazy life, his parents were praying and believing for his salvation. I just kind of want to recap what you just watched a little bit. He's out doing his deal, a prodigal. But there's parents and there's family that are not giving up on him. And they're praying for his salvation. And they're praying that someday he would be back in the path and on the path and in the plan of God for his life. That ought to encourage every parent today. If your children are drifting or they're away from God, or you have a husband or a wife or a friend who's away from God, when you hear that story and you see this man sitting on a couch and you realize that there was a day whenever he was headed in a whole different direction, but there were people who were praying and there were people who were believing. And then you go to another part of the story, and it's while he's in prison. 3 years, I think, actually, Skip spent in prison for being in a fight. And while he's in prison, he and his wife are believing in God's faithfulness and God's promises. And they're believing for a day when they would get past that season where they were, and that they would be together, and that they would serve God together, and they would raise their family. They now have five kids, and they're part of our Bellevue campus. And they were seeing things in that season. And if you could just go there in your mind, the reality of that and how that must have felt. But they were believing for a better day. And they were believing that God wasn't going to leave them where they were, and that God was going to do something greater. Now, you heard Skip when he was asked the question, what are you believing God for? He says, well, I'm going back to school to get my master's degree. And so here they are, still on a journey of believing. And so together they're praying. I ran into Danielle at the Bellevue campus the other day. She had just got out of a small group there, and so we were face to face for a few moments, and I said, "Hey, I'm praying for Skip and the schooling, and I know it's a time of stretching for you guys." And you know, sometimes a wife would go into, "Well, you know, yeah, it's hard. Thank you. I got five kids. He's working a job. He's going to school." And you know, it'd be laborious, but she was just like smiling back, and she's saying, "We're so excited. We're so excited. It's not easy, but there's something that God has for us in our life and for our future, and we're excited about this season of what God's doing." So they're believing, and they're investing, and they're giving for things in God's house and in their house. And again, we're asking the question, what are you believing God for? See, God wants our first, and God wants our best. But God never wants something from us without giving something to us. You want me to say it again? Like, it was a little bit slow, had to process it. God does want our first, and God does want our best, but God never wants something from us without giving something to us. And I know there's a lot of ideology about God, and there's a lot of people who have different perspectives and views of God. Jesus was so clear, Luke 6, he said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." He didn't have to add that. Like, he could have just said, "Give because you're supposed to." But he reveals a nature of God. He reveals a part of who God really is. And when he continues the sentence and he's like, "Yes, God wants you to give, but he also wants you to know that as you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." And Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And he could have said something like, "Because that's all that really matters." But he didn't say it that way. He wanted us to get the message that God never wants something from us without giving something to us. And so he went the route of seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added to you as well. And the other things that he's talking about in the previous verses, where he was describing things like clothes and houses and food and things that you would need in your own life, and he's promising the goodness of God. And he's describing and saying, yes, put him first. Yes, honor him. Yes, seek first the kingdom. But just know God's not forgetting you, and God's not going to leave you without what you have need of. And God really wants to bless your life and bless your future. One of the teaching on tithe in the Bible, same kind of deal. It's like Malachi 3, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there could be food in the house. Test me, God says. See if I'll not what? Throw the windows of heaven open and pour out so much blessing on your life. God, I'm just trying to help somebody understand. If you've seen God as a greedy God, a God who is taking, a God who's just making demands on your life, and it's like you're always having to guard what you have from God, because God's after everything you got, and God wants to drain you dry. And if you've had those sort of ideas about giving time and offering time and putting God first in our life, I hope today you'll rethink it and realize we serve a good God. We serve a generous God. We serve a God who will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. Come on. We serve a God. Yes, he calls us to give, but he is a God who never wants to receive something from us without giving something to us. And maybe you need to hear me say this as well. God's not offended when we ask him to do things for us. Some people are afraid and hesitant to ask God for something. And so what we're here saying, what do you believe in God for? And there could be some of you who might reason it out and have thoughts like, well, it's just too trivial, you know, to bother him with. We're going to put, the media's putting up one of the cards that we had on the wall that I saw. I love that. I'm believing for my boo. I just love that when I saw it. And by the way, they're not talking about Halloween or anything like that. Now, if there's a religious nature in you, you might be, oh, that's so silly. I loved it. I saw it. It's like some lighthearted single person saying, I'm all in and all out for God, and I'm just believing he's got the right man or the right woman out there for me in my future. I know I was laughing this week that God had answered a prayer for me, and that was just simply that my wife would not put up our Christmas decoration until Halloween was over. And God answered that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Because I've been answering the door many times on Halloween, or been in the house many times when the kids ring the doorbell and trick-or-treating, and they're just there to get some candy, and then they look past me and they see Christmas trees and hear Christmas music playing, and poor children are confused. It's like, I thought this was Halloween, not Christmas. So I'm just having a little fun with you today, because I hope if you have a religious attitude about asking God for things that has to be lofty and you have to sort of measure it all out. Does it really qualify as a legitimate request for me to actually bring to God? I just hope you can get set free from that. And you can understand the goodness of God. And you can realize that even when you go a little bit like, you know, like praying a prayer that seemed a little bit silly or personal, or like, give me a better parking spot, you know, in the busy mall, or whatever it might be, that you're not thinking God's up there, you know, and his brows, oh, I can't believe you would ask me for that. That heaven's going to chuckle, and heaven's going to be amused, and heaven is just thankful that people would come. And I hope you get set free. Like, if you feel like it's too trivial, or if you feel like it's being discontent or selfish to ask God for something, or, you know, you're being greedy because you got a lot more blessings than a lot of people have in the world, so you're rationalizing that out, and it's not right for me to ask God for something because I got more than other people have. And like, I hope if you're in that frame of mind, I can help you to understand that God doesn't want you to feel that way. God doesn't want you to think that way. God doesn't want us to walk around with ideas that, well, I'll just handle this myself. I saw a quote this week, and I've never seen this before. It's a quote from a great historical figure of Christianity. His name is Dwight Moody, a great preacher, a great thinker, theologian. And here's what he said. He said, God's not bothered by our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all. And church, I gotta tell you, I felt a bit convicted when I read that. I felt a bit of my own ways and mannerisms sometimes where I have not come to God for one reason or another. And I took that into my heart, and I'm sharing it with you today for that very reason. Because those words got in my own spirit that the way to trouble God is to not come at all. The way to trouble God is to not come at all. I don't think any of us who are Christ followers want to trouble God, which means that we want to be responsive. Like we want to come to God, and we want to come boldly, and we want to come in faith. And we want to put our petitions out before God on a consistent basis. And just know there's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too trivial. That when we come to God and we bring, like Jesus used the example of an earthly father wants to give good things to his children, how much more does the heavenly Father, the God of the universe, want to give good things to those who ask him? There's a prayer that's one of my personal favorites by a guy named Jabez. And if you would look at prayers in the Bible and think there could ever be a self-centered, selfish one, it would be this one. Because his prayer sounded like this. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. I got 4 acres to farm. I want to have 40. He didn't say that. I'm just helping you understand his verbiage. Enlarge my territory. That your hand would be with me and upon me. That you would keep me from evil. And you read the prayer, and if you're in a more conservative, religious, fearful mindset, as you read it, you're wondering, you're thinking, oh my God, this guy's getting ready to get fried. Lightning bolts are gonna shoot out of heaven. But then you get to the last line, and it says, and God granted his request. I think somebody ought to clap your hands for the goodness of God. Come on, we serve a good God, a God who cares, a God who loves. Let me take you to Mark chapter 11, if I could. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. And then verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I'm reading that to you in what is called the New International Version of Scripture, but I learned this when I was a teenager. I memorized it in the King James Version. And here's how it's worded. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you desire. We all know that there's desires of the flesh, but what you may not realize is that God puts desires in us that are in line with his will, so that we'll be motivated to create new and better realities on earth on behalf of heaven. And so before you assume that something that sounds just pragmatic or natural, a desire in you that may sound even seem selfish, before you go there and conclude that, I want to ask you to pause and to consider Jabez. And to consider this verse I'm reading, and to understand that from the time you were born, God's purpose was put deep within you. And it, right now, it could be something as simple as there's a person you love that you're watching a train wreck happen in front of you. And they're on your mind constantly. And you're concerned, you're worried. They're headed in the wrong direction. Their life is getting messed up. And you're like a bystander to something that's creating stress in you. And I want to just say to you that perhaps it's no accident that they're on your mind a lot. Perhaps it's no accident that you feel the way you do, as passionate as you are. Perhaps this is meant to be that moment, that season, this time, that you would be the one who would step into a place of faith to believe God, like Skip's parents believed God for him. that just maybe this, rather than going and fretting and worrying more, maybe this is a time for you to shift gears and for you to say God is able. And God's arm is not short, and God can do the miraculous. And on their behalf, began to call their name in prayer. And they began to proclaim a future that's different than the present over their lives. That desire, in other words, is something, don't eliminate the idea that maybe perhaps it's something born in heaven that God put in you for such a time as this. And it could be even that right now there's children that you're seeing, your own children growing up, and you think it's just natural. Well, they're my kids. I love them. But no, wait a minute. Maybe, just maybe, there's something in their future that is so big and so great that God would have you to not just say, well, they're good kids, but God would have you to say, there's something special. There's something unique on their life. And to pray bold, big prayers and to believe big things for those children that maybe right now they're really young and they're just running around and look so normal. But for you, perhaps, this season in our church is an invitation. You're going to know who you are if I'm touching on your situation right now. But maybe for you, it's the time for you to step out and say, God, I'm believing you that this is a child of purpose and intention, and that your plans from the foundation of the world are not going to be aborted. They're not going to be changed. But in the name of Jesus, my son is going to live out the purpose of God and the big things that you have ordained for him in his life and in his future. Or perhaps right now you have the desire to be a prosperous business owner, and you really want to be a business owner like that's prospering, not failing, but prospering, and it's deep within your heart. And you know in your private, quiet moments, you know you love God, and you know you seek first the kingdom of God. But before you dismiss praying a bold prayer like Jabez prayed because you might think it's selfish, can I urge you, can I like prod you a little bit, that perhaps God put that ambition and that passion in you. You're not a pastor, you're maybe not a musician, but you are a business leader, an entrepreneur, a marketplace person that is assigned to go into the marketplace and to gather the wealth that's out in the world and to bring it into the kingdom of God. So before you shrink back, how about you consider stepping up and having the courage to say, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. God, you are a God who can open up doors. I'm going to believe you, God, for great things. It was so great last week. We were in a legacy team meeting, and one of the ladies in our church just shared a story that in 2013 at our legacy offering, she was here in church. Her husband's in the military. She had a job, and as she was getting ready to write out her check to give into the offering, she felt like God spoke to her and said, double it. I don't know if you ever wondered why, you know, God often, he just speaks in sound bites. Have you noticed that about God? Like, you're going, could you explain a little more? But he's like, go, come, stay. Well, she heard, double it. And she just shared with us how that, in that moment, everything changed. The amount she was giving was doubled. And she said, I raised my envelope up in the air, and the ushers come and they get it. And when it left my hand, she said, I just broke emotionally. I just began to weep. And so she's telling me this. And when she said that, I thought, oh my God, buyer's remorse is happening. But it wasn't that. It was like something she said deep within her just erupted. Because she's always had something more in her heart. And she's had an entrepreneurial spirit. So today, here we are, what would it be, 5 or 6 years later? Today, she was sharing with us that she now owns her own real estate company, and she has 3 offices. And she's part of our DuPont team as well. I think somebody ought to, come on, let's thank God. You just never know, is what I'm saying, but why not believe? Why not believe? Because believing is what we're called to do. Believing is what we're called to do. Hear me, everyone. God hasn't called us to critique and judge the world. God hasn't called us to condemn and criticize, to point out what everybody is doing wrong. And that's not who we are as a church. If you came from a church like that and you want that, maybe consider going back to that. That's not what we are. That's not who we're called. We're called to believe God to put more churches in communities. We're called in this church to not curse the darkness, but to light a candle. To believe God. Come on. To believe for mountains to be moved. Do I have anybody who would say, I believe mountains can be moved? To pray audacious prayers. To pray audacious prayers in the face of impossible circumstances. To think big. Pray big. Wow. How about we all just stand, because I'm wrapping it up. Just all stand with me. When we think about this week, I'm not backing up one bit in saying to you, let's honor the house of God. David, there's a story of David in the Old Testament where he had just won a big battle. And he wanted to give thanks and honor to God for the victory. And so he was at a neighbor's farmland after the battle was over. And the neighbor basically said, hey, I know you want to offer God worship and sacrifice. I've got plenty of in my flock and in my herd. Feel free, offer a sacrifice to God. And David said this. He said, no. I will not offer to God something that costs me nothing. And so maybe you're thinking, well, what do I do, Pastor Kevin? What do I give? How do I get involved in honoring the house of God? Two things I want to say. If you're not a tither, this would be a great time for you to step out and bring your first tithe to the Lord next weekend. That would be a great beginning of a way you could step out in faith and just tithe on what God's already given to you. If you are a tither and you're thinking about an offering, all I'm gonna say is make sure it costs you something. Like don't bring to God something that doesn't cost you anything. Let's just honor the Lord. Let's put him first, and let's be big enough in our hearts and in our faith, and let's not accept negative circumstances or conditions as being permanent in our lives or in our family. Let's believe they can change, and with God's help, they're going to change. God hasn't called us to ask him for little things. God's called us to ask him for better things and bigger things in our lives, in our families, in our... I just want to know, are you with me today? Is anybody with me today? I feel it. I know you are. And if you're a person who's been living way beneath the promises of God in your life, if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I should be further along than I am right now, Rather than getting all frustrated about what hasn't happened and what they haven't done, I'm kind of on a roll. Everybody okay? Things are just coming to my mind. Like, there's a promise in the Bible that says that God will restore to you the year that the locust and the canker worm has eaten. Like, you don't need to be thinking about what you could have done, should have done. This is your day. Come on, this is your time. And God will restore. God will give back. God can do.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.